everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to part two of this two-part interview with Bonnie Feaster. If you haven't yet listened to part one, trust me, we're building on a lot of what we started in part one on this part two episode. So make sure you go back and listen to part one before you dive into this episode. I have been struggling dealing with Hashimoto's for the better part of 5, 6, 7 years. And no matter, every time I get my blood work done, we go in and it's like, okay, well, this marker's better, this one's worse, you know? And even my doctor said to me, he's like, I don't know if we'll ever solve your hypothyroidism. It's just, you know, you might have to just learn to deal with it. Well, a lot of women that have hypothyroidism, and more than you think have it, than don't have it. It is more common than you think. It's very easy to get into a crutch with hypothyroidism and go, well, this is why I'm not losing weight, because I'm hypothyroid. And what struck me is he did this interview with this woman who was doing all the things I was doing, cutting out gluten, being very, not extreme in a crazy way, extreme with her diet, taking all the supplements, blah, 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 doing all of this and not able to lose the last 20, 30, I think it was maybe even 40 pounds for her. And she's like, and then she met this guy and he said, well, how many calories are you eating per day? And she's like, well, why does it matter? I'm eating organic. I'm eating paleo. I'm eating, you know, vegetables. And he's like, but how much are you eating? And she's like, I don't understand what you're asking. And there has been this idea in the fitness space, as long as you eat clean, you don't have to count your calories. As long as you eat paleo and you're bulletproof coffee in the morning, like, it doesn't matter. Like, people, it was my doctor that actually said to me, and he's known as the paleo doctor. He's a strong advocate for the paleo diet. He's like, do you know how many calories are typically in a Dave Asprey style, not to throw him under the bus, Dave Asprey style bulletproof coffee? It can be 500 calories. And some people will have 2 or 3 of those a day. That's like a calorie load for a lot of women on the diet. And that could be just what you have for breakfast, right? You have to me, it suddenly struck me, you have to watch how much you eat. And I think it has become very sexy in the fitness space to go just focus on the quality of your food and you don't have to count calories. But you ultimately do. If you're not losing weight, whether you have Hashimoto's or not, whether you have hypothyroidism or not, whether you've just had a kid, whether you think it's your metabolism, if you're not counting calories, that probably could be one of the simplest things that you could do that could make a big impact. Because whatever quote unquote diet you're following, it's got to be less. You've got to have caloric deficit. Do you have to run into like explaining this to a lot of your clients? Because for me, I don't know why, but it really, I haven't been tracking my calories until only recently, Bonnie. And I can tell you once now that I'm back to counting them, I've been way overeating on things like vegetables and hummus and apples. Or too much chicken.
Yeah, you can overeat. You're not alone. I mean, and absolutely, this is a conversation we have a lot. And it's kind of funny because people will come to us and they'll say, know, I'm really struggling. I want to lose weight. I've really, you know, and then they'll spend probably a good 20 minutes telling me everything they're doing right and every reason why they are not losing weight, why they shouldn't lose weight, and, you know, excuses, you know, they have this issue, they're premenopausal, they'll, you know, name all the reasons why they're probably not doing well. And I'm thinking, you know, you're telling me everything you're doing, which is wrong, you know, which is, why don't you maybe ask me what I would recommend, you know? And so one of the great example for this, I'll give you two things that I think are very valuable. One, I'll use this example of a woman that caught me in the bathroom at our gym. And she said, you know, I've been a member of your gym for two years and I haven't lost but this amount of weight. And I'm kind of stuck. And I said, well, how many calories are you eating? And she said, well, I really don't count calories, but if I had to guess, it'd probably be between 12 and 1400 calories. And I know how much she works out. So I knew that was incorrect. And, because I've met enough people and done the math enough. And so she went on for maybe 30 minutes to tell me how healthy she ate. And I'm thinking, well, obviously eating healthy has not getting you results. You know, I believe you're eating healthy. And I said, do me a favor. And I just gave her just one simple thing. And if anybody's listening and they're also at the same exact situation, I'll just pretend like this is to you. Say, do me a favor and just go to loseit.com, you know, or get the Lose It app, which I love and it's free, and start logging your food just for 10 days. Anybody can do anything for 10 days. Every single thing that goes in your mouth, put it in the app before you eat it, not after you eat it, because everybody's going to forget stuff. Before you eat it, log it. Don't worry about where your macros are. Don't worry about even how many calories you should be eating. Just log it. It's like, how do I tell anybody to do anything different if we don't even have data on what they're doing now? So that's like phase one. I ended up bumping into the same lady. It was probably maybe 3 months later, and she lost 25 pounds. She said, oh my gosh, I have been dying to run into you. She said, I did exactly what you said and started counting my calories. And of course, her 10 days turned into way many more. And she said, I was eating really healthy. I just had zero clue just how much I was eating. I was under this false pretense that I was doing really well and eating really low in calories just because I was eating healthy. And what I like to equate it to is money, because everybody gets money. But you know, how many times have we gone to the grocery store or going to the mall and you think, and you try to like do the math in your head, I wonder what this is going to be like. And you're just way off, you know, how fast is it that we can nickel and dime ourselves to death? And to me, counting calories is like checking labels when you're shopping. You know, it's educational, and it also helps you make better decisions. You know, I don't know about you, but I picked up the shirt that was $100 and I was like, before I knew the price tag, I'm like, oh, this is so cute. And then I look at the price tag and I'm like, not that cute. And, but it's like without counting calories, we're not able to make intelligent decisions. We're literally doing the Christmas tree diet. Like, you know how your Christmas tree attests when you're in high school and you didn't know what the answers were. So you just kind of just randomly chose the little bubbles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are expecting to have results on the guessing diet, and you can't play the guessing game. So the logging food, not only does it help for you to get results, but and you know, just giving you that whole mathematical information that you need to find out how many calories food is, but it's just a world of education so that you can later on just eyeball stuff and know about how many calories different items are. And you know, is peanut butter a protein or a fat, or is it a carb? Well, when you log it and you see the profile of it, you know exactly what it is. And all these false ideas that you have in your head of like, I'm going to eat beans and it's high in protein. You realize, oh my gosh, but no, beans not high in protein. It's high in carbs. And it starts educating you along the way. So logging food to me is absolutely one of the most educational, enlightening, and powerful things anyone can do. And that would always be step one of what I would suggest for anybody.
It's so, it really is. It's so fundamental. It sounds so common sense. And what's funny too is, by the way, on a sidebar, we have like 10 minutes left, Bonnie. So we're going to have this episode be strictly fitness, and then we'll have you back and you and I will talk like the business show.
You got it.
That's separate. Because this is really good and this is juicy and this is what people need to hear. When you said just a few seconds ago, I told this client, I just, for everybody listening, I can't tell you how many trainers have told me this over the past 3 or 4 years. Whitney Jones said it to me. Probably Bonnie, you said it to me over the past. My trainer in Austin said, I mean, people would go, Kelly, you know, keep a food diary. And I'm like, I know what I eat. I would always say this. I know what I eat. And then I would say, I'm like, I make turkey meatloaf. I have canned green beans. I have egg whites. And I put just a little bit of Parmesan cheese on it. I have this for my coffee. I don't keep any Splenda in the house. La 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 la. You know, and I'm like, I was adamant. And
yep.
For whatever the reason is for each one of us, you know, maybe it's like checking your bank balance when you know it's low. You just don't check it. So you avoid it. Maybe it's like avoiding weighing yourself because you don't want to see a number that's 1 pound higher because it's emotional for you. And the same thing with counting your food. I don't know what it was for me because I was so sure that I was eating okay, that my eating was not the problem. I thought it's got to be my hypothyroid. It has to be that I'm not eating the right foods. There's got to be some unique mixture of the right foods. And the truth is, I would, you know, instead of taking the most simple, common sense advice, count your calories, go put all your foods into MyFitnessPal or Lose It or whatever. Instead of taking the simplest track, which is what I'm telling all of you to do, honestly, if you can take one thing away from this conversation, start tracking your food and seeing how much you eat. Because and I'm going to get to part two of that in a second, but what I would do, just because I want to tell you guys what not to do, is I would go train with my trainer in Austin, and I would tell him about something I'd eat. And he'd go, and so I remember I'd cut out soda. And he's like, and I said, oh, well, the great thing is I'm having sparkling water, and I put lemon in it. He's like, oh, I avoid carbonation. And I'm like, why? And he would tell me something about why he avoids carbonation. So what would I do, Bonnie? Number one, freak out. Number two, feel like shit because I'd been having carbonation. Then I would go home and do research about why carbonation was bad. And then I would probably go to HEB on the way home because I was pissed off that I'd been having carbonation. And I would assume that that's why I hadn't lost weight. So I'd go buy donuts just to, you know, eat my feelings. Then I'd buy donuts. I'd binge on the donuts. And then I would tell myself, oh, you know what? Guys, I'm not trying to be funny. This is exactly the kind of behavior I did for years. And it's extreme, but it's all in the hopes of, well, I got to find some magical Rubik's Cube solution of what's going to be the perfect combination of eating and drinking and whatever. And so I'd go and I'd binge on donuts. And then I'd say, okay, I'm going to 24-hour fast because I just ate those donuts. And that was 1400 calories. And I'm going to not eat until tomorrow. And I'm going to go on an extra walk and I'm going to get extra cardio in. So I'm extreme working out, extreme whatever. Then I go back to the gym, or somebody on Instagram would say, oh, you're eating lunch meat that has sulfates in it, or sulfites. Do you know what sulfites do? Now you're retaining water. You've probably been making yourself gain water weight, blah, 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 blah. So then I'd go freak out about that. Same thing. Instead of just counting my damn calories. When I started counting my damn calories, let me tell you, guys and gals, this is why counting your calories, because I know, and Bonnie, tell me if you agree, some people out there are going to hear this and go, well, life is too short to be so obsessive where we have to count our calories. Do you hear that a lot?
You know, I do hear things like, oh, you need to live a little, or, you know, I can't imagine cutting my calories for the rest of my life. And, you know, and I definitely get resistance. It's, you know, it's not the easiest way to diet. Most people want you to spell out a diet for you and say, eat this. And, you know, and have a meal plan for them already prepared, but that doesn't teach people anything. That's my, exactly. You know, the answers to the test, because that's basically what that's all about. And that's why they fail, because they don't go the distance. They succeed short term. But, you know, how I look at it is, you have a problem and you need a solution and you need to go to school to learn how to fix that problem. You know, if we have a deficit in our life, or, you know, like, I'm not good with finances. There's several things that I really would like to improve on. And this is this weekend. I went specifically to a weekend to improve some skills that I lacked and needed. It was a course. It was 3 days of hardcore training so that I can get better. You know, surely I could have done like the, you know, the short version, just give me 5 tips and, you know, apply it. But, you know, that I think people are not, they're not investing the quality of time to do things kind of longhand. Everybody's wanting the 10 second, you know, fix. And so counting calories is time consuming, especially at first, but people are not going to have to count your calories for the rest of your life. That would be, I mean, think about it, how simple, you know, simple multiplication and division and all that kind of stuff is now to us, but how difficult and taxing it was when we were actually learning it in school. You know, that's the process of using a lose it up or using a, you know, some kind of food log to log everything. Eventually you're going to be able to memorize stuff and eyeball stuff, and you will have this knowledge forever. So it's just, I tell everybody that goes to our gym that takes any of our programs, think of this as a 6-week school or whatever the program that they're in. This is why we call it a challenge, not because the actual goal is a challenge, but the whole process is a challenge.
It's really true what you said too, because so for any of you that are listening and you, because I've been in all of these places. I've been in the place where I was overanalyzing everything, obsessing, freaking out, yo-yo dieting. And I've, you know, I've gone through so many phases. I'm in a good place right now where, to me, that this most recent, you know, lightning strike aha moment about caloric deficit was really what I needed to hear, because the truth is I've been unintentionally resting on the crutch of having Hashimoto's for so long. And yes, I've been eating healthy food. And if somebody had a camera and was following me around my house, the average maybe non-fitness fanatic person, or even a fitness person, would go, God, Kelly, you eat so healthy. And how can you not lose the 20 pounds you want to lose? I don't get it. Like if you can't lose it and you eat like that, no one can. I've had people say that to me, but here's the thing. And I shared this on Instagram, and I think this is such a very typical example. And then I want to encourage you guys on how to look at, you know, starting to do a food diary with a better attitude, because it really is, you're investing in yourself a way of understanding food for yourself that will help you the rest of your life. But for me, there was this moment last week when I had hit my caloric window. I'd figured out what macros I should be at, and I started tracking them in my FitnessPal, right? Very specifically. And I was finished with my calories for the day. And Steve was in the middle of a trial, and he was coming home late. And I said, hey, you know, do you want me to make you some dinner? Because I knew he probably hadn't eaten at the office. And so he's like, yeah, well, I was heating up, you know, we were making these like Buddha bowls, right? So I was heating up grilled organic chicken, okay, organic black beans. I'm sharing all this with you because you're all going to go, well, that's healthy stuff. Cilantro, fresh vegetables that were roasted in the air fryer. And then I'm trying to think of what else, but, you know, essentially vegetables, organic black beans, chicken. And then I was grilling some zucchini on this indoor grill. And I remember this very moment of going, I want to reach down and have one of these pieces of zucchini. Now, all of you that are listening are like, is she really going to obsess over a piece of zucchini? That can't be why she's not losing weight. Here's the thing, people. If I were to do what I normally would have done in this scenario, I would have normally said, Steve's going to sit down and have dinner. I'm kind of hungry. I could, well, this is protein, so it's not going to hurt me. It's protein, and I'll make myself a little bowl. So it's not like I'd be binging, but I would typically have made myself a dish of the vegetables and the black beans and sat there and had dinner with my man. Now, a lot of you listening are going to go, is she really saying like that? But let me tell you guys, that could easily be 300 calories to 400 calories, okay? And it's organic, bought it at Whole Foods, it's all great, it's grilled, right? Here's the deal. If I have an extra, I share this on Instagram, and I got more comments on this than anything else. If you have an extra 250 calories a day, okay, that ends up being, help me out here with Bonnie, I'm going to take my calculator out. 250 calories a day is how much a week? Where's my calculator?
Making me do math?
I
always use like 500 calories or 1,000 calories.
Well, yeah, actually 500 is better. So if you did an extra five, and then we'll just half it, an extra 500 calories a day. 3,500 calories a week, which is a pound. So if you had an extra, if you did something like that, or say you went to Starbucks and got a biscotti that's 250 calories and a cappuccino, and you just started doing that because it's fall and on the way home, you're going to get yourself a coffee for your hour-long commute, you add an extra 400 or 500 calories a day. Without changing anything else in your life, you will gain 4 pounds every month. That's 48 pounds a year. Half that, which is if you do 250 calories, you know how you can do 250 calories? An apple and a cappuccino maybe, and you know, just a few things that you could easily nibble on. That can be 2 pounds a month. That's 25 pounds a year that you could gain. Or maybe if you eat that extra food but you're working out, you'll just stay at the same weight. This is why the calorie thing matters, and why if you start calculating your calories, people, yes, it's going to seem like, oh, life is too short to live like this. But then when you're aware, you can then plan so you can have your pizza, you can have your margaritas, you can have your taco night on Sundays, because you plan for it. And that's kind of a whole other show we can do about macros. But this is about understanding limits so that you can live, not so you can live in denial. This is about the more you understand food, the better choices you can make. But ultimately, you got to live in a caloric deficit. If you're stuck and you're not losing weight, start tracking your calories. Do you agree? Like, would that be one of the top things you recommend to people to start doing if they're stuck?
It is the top thing. And there's two things that, you know, one thing I would say is, logging your calories not only is educational in helping you reach your goals and making sure you stay within the caloric budget that one of the apps can even map out for you if you don't know what your budget is, but not only that, but it empowers you to be able to make decisions and have control over the things you do want to love. Let's say you do go to a birthday and you want to have birthday cake. Well, heck, you know, log it, find out what you need to do to make that work for you. I mean, it is no different than I want to buy that handbag and I can't afford it right now, but I want to get it later and I'm going to make room for it and figure it out. It's budgeting. It's learning to budget your body's caloric, you know, expenditure and intake. And the other thing I would say that I see a lot that I would really encourage people to fix is quit majoring in the minors. You know, people are constantly so scattered with all the information that's out there, like you were saying, so easily, like, oh my gosh, carbonation, oh my gosh, you know, lunch meat. And I would say, focus on your one goal. What is, if you had a magic wand and I could wave it over your head, money, time, nothing mattered. You had the basically the genie in a bottle, what would your goal be? And let's say it's just for blanket statement, because most people will say probably weight loss is one of the most popular ones. Then everything that you decide to do, whether it's working out or eating, needs to first look at weight loss as being the main objective. As an example, when people come into our challenge, we say if it's calorie free, it's okay by me. And so if it's not on the meal plan, if it's not within the supplement lists of things that we suggest, you know, we're like, okay, well, it's calorie free, it's okay by me. Meaning if you love Diet Coke, drink up, baby. We'll address that later down the road. Our number one goal right now is weight loss. And we're just going to be looking at your food intake. And so with MSG and all the other things that I may talk about in our nutritional seminars with our members, and some of the education we try to give them, it is kind of like take it or leave it. If it's too hard to take and you are like, and it's just overwhelming you, just focus on the big thing, which is the weight loss and the food intake. Don't get carried away with, I've got to have gluten-free, MSG-free, no, you know, not any diet sodas, and, you know, and all the long list of making sure you're getting all your vitamins and minerals and all that kind of stuff. You can tackle that one little thing at a time. It took me 2 years to work on getting MSG out of the house and to get out of the habit of even buying stuff that had it, or forgetting that I'm to even look for it in certain foods. So this is a journey. Our health journey is going to be a long life. We're going to fight all this stuff until the day we're dead, because we're going to be constantly learning something new and we're going to be a different version of ourselves every single year. So if we could focus on what our main goal is, And if our main goal, you know, some people that might have had cancer or have something else in their life that they really are trying to combat, and their health, maybe their blood sugar, you know, insulin levels and stuff like that, that's maybe their main objective. Then it's going to be a different, you know, their main focus goal is going to be a little bit different. And, you know, I think we just get so scattered and we lose focus. And so I have had people all the time say, I can't eat that. I only do organic foods, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, well, I'm not saying that not eating organic or whatever is your problem. I'm saying you're eating too much of those organic foods, you know? So it's always going back to the basics, like you said in the very, very beginning. Go back to the basics, back to the basics, back to the tab days, counting calorie days.
It is. It sounds too simple, but, you know, simple can sometimes be the best. And, you know, the more that I've started to focus on this, the more I've realized how much of my time, and I know we got to wrap up, Bonnie, because I know you have to go. But I've really realized, because I'm giving myself a break and I'm saying, I'm laser focused on hitting that caloric deficit. Macro second, like I really am. And what's funny is the more that I relax and go, you know, like last week I had, this is really odd and this is not like it was a goal, but I was grocery shopping and I was in the frozen food aisle and I was actually getting some frozen fruits and vegetables. And I saw this Lean Cuisine spinach pizza that I used to live on. And I was like, I want that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get one and I'm going to have one for lunch and I'm going to have it with green beans because I want it. And I'm not going to say no. And I put it in and I recorded it in my macros. And the funny thing was, I thought my immediate nutrition over analysis brain was like, I'm going to blow it on my carbs today. This is going to ruin everything. Blah, blah, blah. I was able to have a protein shake, grilled chicken with this, that, the other. I had my collagen. I had all my supplements, totally hit my macros, totally hit the caloric window. And again, I've only been doing this for about like 10 days, really focusing on my caloric window. And when I hit it, like, no, you can't have extra zucchini. No, you can't have more chicken breast because your stomach's grinding. If your stomach's grinding, like sometimes we got to be hungry, like get over it. If you want to lose weight, sometimes you might have to be a little hungry. It doesn't mean you're going to die. But it's the simplest thing. And I'm realizing how much I used to stress about everything and obsess. And I know that's why I've had such issues with cortisol. People, if you don't know that cortisol can cause you to retain weight and fat and all of that, relax a little bit, make it simple on yourself, track your calories to start off. It's such a great baseline. And Bonnie, not only do we have to have you back because we'll do the business show, but I think you and I could do a show on how to take this to the next level with, like, then how do you use this gift of understanding nutrition and macros to plan your life so you can have margaritas and you can have, you know, fajita night and taco night. And like, how do you do that? Because some people don't have any idea how to go, well, hey, I want to have pizza Friday night. How do I plan for that? You know, and do I balance my calories? Do they carry over or not carry over? Like, that could be a good show.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many people look at Steve and I and like, oh, like feeling sorry for us as if we have some kind of miserable life. And I'm thinking, dude, I live. Let me tell you, I can eat up some chips and salsa and guacamole. I mean, honestly, I think I could be a competitive guacamole and chip, you know, competitor, you know, but people don't realize the more knowledge that you get, the more empowered you can be to live the life that you want to live. And you're just going to be making better decisions. People that drive around in Porsches and have successful lives, there was a sacrifice made at some point. That's the same thing. What there's sacrifices that you make, you just have to determine what's most important and try to, and it's a 7 day a week job. That's probably one of the things I think that, you know, people that are in the fitness industry or they're fitness enthusiasts or they're just like chronic weight loss type of people that are like always on a diet, mm-hmm. is because they diet maybe 5 or 6 days a week and they feel like they diet for 30 years. when really they've never dieted 7 days a week long enough to reach a goal. And if they would have done it, they would have been at their goal 20 years ago and enjoying some kind of balance. But they have to lay stuff down. They have to have some kind of sacrifice. It may be a short-term sacrifice, but really, if you really, really think about it, what are you trading? What sacrifice are you not willing to make just so you can have what? A latte at Starbucks? You know, honestly, really, what is it, the things that we are not willing to lay down? It's like, you know, the whole motivational thing that says, that we sometimes we don't do what we want later, so just because of something that we want right now. Mm-hmm. It's like we trade what we need, we want most for what we want now. And you know, in any success, whether it's financial success, marriage success, diet success, there's going to be a sacrifice that is, and people do not like to sacrifice, and that's why we live in a world full of people that are working out too much. Because they'll add a potion to it. They'll add something to their life, but don't you dare tell me I have to take something away. You know, and unfortunately, sacrifices have to be made. But when you're uncomfortable enough and you're ready, then those sacrifices seem so small, especially when you start to see those sacrifices bring a reward. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that I was not willing to make this sacrifice for just 4 weeks, 12 weeks, you know, 7 days a week, that kind of thing. But that's one of the things I would probably encourage people the most is this, to start with counting calories, commit to a block of time, not doing it just a few days a week and saying, oh, I've been dieting for, you know, 6 months and I only lost 10 pounds. Well, you know, you've been dieting off and on, you know, there were several days you did not diet at all. I guarantee you.
And, don't you think too, let me ask you this, yeah, because you're the expert here, and I'm not being sarcastic when I say that, but when you, cause that just sounds sarcastic. You're the expert. I felt like I had
that's what they say.
Cause I do think, like, in other words, like, there are people listening who want to lose weight who will say, you know, like, I'm willing to be rather hardcore, if you will. Like you're talking about, some people will be really good during the week and then they'll blow it on the weekend. And there's some people out there who, you know, and I'm all for saying and committing, cause you know, I've even started a Facebook group to this degree. Commit to a year of getting better for yourself. It doesn't mean it's going to take a year to, like, for me, I don't anticipate it's going to take me a year to lose the 20 pounds for that, for me, will get me at my goal weight. I don't think it's going to take me a year, but I'm willing to give a year to establishing new habits. And, you know, I might hit my goal weight in 2 months. I might hit it in 6 months, whatever. But for some people, you know, maybe they're going to look at a 1 pound weight loss a month, and then that will allow them to put in practice, or put in place practices that are a little much of an easier progression. So just know, like, and I'm asking if you would agree, there's some people out there that say, I want to lose 1.5 pounds a week. And to do that, here's what my caloric window is going to look like. Some people who might look at that and go, I don't want to, you know, be that strict. Maybe I'm willing to go a little bit longer to be able to enjoy a few more calories a week. I'm okay losing 1 pound a month. And then that way I'll start here. And then maybe 3 months down the road, you might cut back a little more. So it is about making a sacrifice, and it is about tracking, but it's also, you know, different strokes for different folks. Some people might be willing to move a little slower towards the goal. If you'd prefer making those sacrifices, it really all depends on your goal and your level of discomfort. For me, I'm so tired of not fitting in my favorite jeans. I'm willing to work harder and I'm willing to give up more. For other people, if you don't want to give up that much and you're okay having your clothes fit tight, then go at a slower pace. Do you agree with that, Bonnie? Like, figure out what sacrifices you're willing to make for how fast you're going to reach your goal.
It's kind of a mixed bag of tricks to me, because I think that most people
set too low of a goal because they don't realize what is truly achievable. And I see that with our, we have a 6-week challenge right now, and the goal is either losing 6% body fat or 25 pounds. And depending on the person's body type, we help them choose their goal. And people think, are you mad at 25 pounds in 6 weeks? And the truth of the matter is it's not really all about me wanting them to lose 25 pounds. It's me wanting them to strive and work harder to get more progress in 6 weeks than they've ever had before. So really, are you going to be upset if you only lost 20? No, because if you shot for what you thought was realistic, maybe you would hit 8 or 10. You know, so on one hand, we underestimate the ability to actually make really great progress in a healthy way. And I'm not talking about a starvation diet. This in no way, shape, or form. I mean, you, Kelly, you know what foods we are recommending and the diet plans that we use. It is definitely a fueling type of weight loss plan. However, I think people also look at the whole, like, this is my personal opinion. If I was going to do only a pound a week or whatever, that would be such a long process to me. I would lose focus. And when I do mess up, it would be like one step forward, two steps back. It wouldn't be enough progress fast enough for me to stick with it. I need...
That's a great point.
You know, this is really based, it really depends on your personality type in many ways. If you're an all or nothing person, you may need to do the all thing for 6 weeks or, you know, 4 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever. Some people, like my middle sister, she is so methodical and so, you know, she'd be the one that would put together a model airplane and it wouldn't be a big deal if she finished it next year, which you might as well just slit my wrist if you made me do something like that. I want instant results. I want to put that model airplane on a stand and display it for all to see how great I am in 24 hours, you know? So part of it, you have to be honest with yourself. What are you willing to do? And do you want fast results so you can get back to being more in this kind of maintenance mode? Because the majority of people that are really living the fit lifestyle really are probably eating more like maintenance mode than diet mode. They think they're dieting, but they're in maintenance mode. Like for me, mode for me is dieting pretty much 5 days a week, 6 days a week, and then having a day off. That's me in maintenance mode. And that's what most people are living with. So like, if you just sacrifice for a block of time, you can reach your goal faster and get back to kind of a more balanced lifestyle. But if you know that that doesn't work for you and you want to try the slower route, you have to know yourself and be honest with yourself, but you also may need to try something new. So, you know, if you've been doing it this way and you're swearing on the Bible that this is the way that you need, because this is your personality and what you're, you know, whatever, but you haven't gotten any results, maybe you need to abandon that part of your personality and try something new.
This is good stuff. And you really made a good point. I think when I was asking that question, I know what happens when I share what I've learned about myself. And like recently I would say, look, I'm really focusing on this. And I immediately get like 6 people instant messaging me going, yeah, but you know what? Isn't life too short to be doing that? Like if I had to give up, and that's what people will say, they'll go, you know, I'd love to be a size smaller and I know I'm 10 pounds overweight, but I'm not willing to give up my wine. And I'm like, well, I respect that. Like what I'm not going to do is tell other people what they have to do. But on the other hand, if you really are bitching about your weight and you want to get somewhere, then these are the things you need to consider. Like you can't just sit and bitch and moan, I'm not getting anywhere, and not be willing to do the work and understand that is work. And it is, like you said, it's sacrifice. I'm sure that, you know, we'd all love to not have to cut calories and not have to count what we're and be accountable and have balance in what we're eating, but it is what it is. You know, so you either make that decision to do the work and make yourself proud, or you don't. And
isn't life too short to actually feel trapped in your own clothes, your own skin, and not be able to wear the jeans? Like really, if you really, really look at what people are saying, when they're saying, don't you think life's too short? You should be able to go and have your wine or go out to dinner. Or like, really, is that the only thing that you really look forward to in life, is being able to feed? You know, there's so much more to life, and you know, what are we missing out on if we reached our goal and got healthy? There's just, I mean, it's kind of a really small little thing that we're holding on to, and we're missing out on a whole nother version of ourselves that we're completely not thinking about.
So true. So true. This was really good stuff. We went way over, which is typical of me, and I'm sorry about that. So I know I have to let you go. Bonnie, tell people where they can find you online. And
well, I know you're
up in the show notes.
Yeah, thank you. Bonnie Feaster is my name, so everything is just my name at Bonnie Feaster on Instagram, Facebook. You can find all my links on my blog, which is fitblog.com, and it's spelled like my last name, which is P-F-I-T. So you can find me connected with Kelly, and of course in the links. I look forward to meeting your people and chatting again.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Everybody, as I mentioned, we were going to do a two-part episode and have it be fitness first part and business second part, but obviously we're talkers here and this was juicy stuff. So we will have Bonnie back on the show to do the business-focused episode, and then we will do a second show focused on, you know, really taking this nutrition and calorie counting up a notch. So how do you kind of move towards more maintenance with macros and being able to plan so that you have the treats that you like in your week? We'll definitely do that. If you have questions that you want us to cover on that show or just on this topic in general, feel free to reach out to us. You can email my assistant, Angie, at kellyalexa.com. You can also use that same email address if you would like to inquire about sponsorships or advertising opportunities on future shows, or if you'd like to recommend somebody that I interview for the show in the future. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next time on The Kelly O Show.
Hey, everybody. This marks the end of this two-part interview with Bonnie Feaster. I hope you enjoyed it. We will definitely have her back on the show to interview her for our business series. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Of course, if you're interested in working with both Bonnie and her husband, Steve, if you're in the Orlando area, I can't recommend them enough. Connect with them directly on social or reach out to her via email and via her website. If you have any questions for me on this episode, if you have questions about potential future sponsorship opportunities or advertising, or if you'd like to recommend somebody that we interview on the show, we are already scheduling for first quarter of 2020. You can email me, Kelly at kellyalexa.com, or simply fill out the contact me form on kellyalexa.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. And one last request, even though I did it at the beginning of the show, I would love it, you guys, if you would head on over to iTunes if you're loving this show and leave us a review, your honest opinion. It definitely helps the show get seen and heard by more folks. And for those of you that have done it, it is taking effect. The show is growing, which is awesome. Love hearing from all of you on Instagram and Facebook and even on my personal profiles. I love hearing that this show is making an impact on you. So number one, would love to see if you could leave us a review on iTunes. And number two, share the show with your friends. Share it on social media. Tell them they should be subscribing because this show is the bomb and you guys are the bomb. And I will see you next time on The Kelly O Show.